on Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome once more to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. We have plenty to get through. We're already under pressure for time, so we'll kick things off with a bit of football, no pun intended. Head of Cork City women's teams clash against Sligo tonight. I caught up with gaffer Danny Murphy earlier as they were on the team bus up. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork City women's manager, Danny Murphy. You're on the way to Sligo at the moment, Danny. A long way up for you today.
Yeah, no, it's a long old journey, but the girls prepare right all the time for it, and we do the right things as a club to try and help them prepare, so that we're well prepared going up to the game. But it's a long journey, but I think we're getting used to it now, being away from home.
Yeah, we're only four games in here now. How have you seen the season so far?
No, it's been good. Look, we've had some good spells. We had a little hiccup towards the first part of it, but I think we've really improved on certain aspects of our game, and we're continuing to improve and develop. And look, we're a young side, and we know we're not going to always have the consistency we'd like, but we keep building and we keep working and trying to improve every week.
Is it clear for you the improvements in the squad from this year to last year?
Yeah, I think it's clear. I think it's very clear improvements in terms of our overall outlook on the game, in terms of how we keep possession of the ball, how we press. You know, set pieces have been so much more effective this year, and it's to continue to grow on them things and keep developing and having our own identity of how we do things and how we play, and that's the big thing for us as a team and as a group. We want people to know, look, that's how we do things and that's what we do, and it's taken a little bit of time to get where it wants to, but we're gradually still got work to do, but we're gradually getting better and better week by week.
Yeah, of course, up to Sligo today, but the big one from a city point of view really is next weekend when you're taking on Treaty back in Turner's Cross. Danny, you must be ecstatic to be back there.
Yeah, it's great to be back home and to have a home game. And look, you know, we're going up to Sligo today, and we need to get a positive result, because if we get a positive result, I think that we can attract more people coming to the game next weekend. And look, it is a big game next weekend, because even though it's early on in the season, it's something that, you know, we want to be going out and to win, especially being at home, and you know, all the people we can get there to support. And look, we have a big following on the men's side. And even if we get half of what goes to the men's games comes to the women's game, it'd be a massive difference in terms of helping the girls drive on when things ain't quite going your way, or when things are going your way that you get things over the line. And look, we need people like who support the football club to become that and supporting the women's team as well.
Yeah, what's the best way to get people in and going to women's games, Danny?
I think once they go and watch a game, that they'll realise that the level of commitment the girls are putting in and how hard they work to want to be a part of the football club and how much pride they have in playing for the Cork City, is massive. And like, I don't think it's shown. People see it if they don't go and watch it. Like, and until people come and watch and see the quality that we have, I think it'll keep them coming to games. And look, we need them to come and watch so that they'll keep coming back, because I know once they come in and watch a game, they'll continue to come.
Yeah, and you came up with the good idea of going to a few schools. The reception there always seems to be amazing for you.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, look, from the younger age groups of girls coming through Cork City, is like through Cork in general is huge. Like, there's, you know, we're very successful in terms of underage from the schoolgirls team. So, but the quality of players coming through from the younger age groups is amazing. And the biggest thing for me is going out to these schools and letting them know who you are and showing them your face and having girls to identify with, so that they can have players who they look up to and they want to come and watch and someone to aspire to and be like. And we've got plenty of girls in the team who are like that, who girls can come and watch and think, I want to be like that person, and we need to get them out to games watching. So we've had a big push in it, and the girls have been brilliant. Look, a lot of them are at college and at work, but they make the time and the effort to go out to these schools and do these things.
Yeah, and you really see that family type atmosphere, I guess, after some of these games. You know, when the girls are coming up taking photos, you know, with the players afterwards, it's really nice to see.
Yeah, look, we're appreciative of people coming out to watch us and support us, because we need them, and they help us in games and they help us get through difficult moments in games. And the girls really appreciate that, because look, to be honest, all these girls who are playing for us, barring one or two, have come through our academy, and they've been out to games, they've been and watched girls who have been here in the past and have someone to look up to, and now they're living that dream. And they know what it feels like when you're a young girl coming through and you're very limited on what you can go and watch and how you can go and watch games. So they appreciate them young girls coming out and supporting them.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's great to see. And I suppose another aspect to all this is the game's been shown on TV on TG Garrard. That's an absolute fantastic step for women's football in Ireland.
No, it's brilliant. Look, it's great. Look, I know we hadn't had many games on TV, and I think it would be a really good showcase for us in terms of what we're trying to achieve as a club and what we're doing on the girls' side and what our players can do. And I think that it's great for us. It's a great opportunity to play live on TV. And look, it's no different to any other game, just you've got a couple of cameras and maybe an extra few thousand people watching on telly.
And hopefully an extra few thousand in at Turner's Cross. We'll do our best to get as many as we can in there anyway.
Yeah, no, look, and I've been on to the commandos and all the other groups that are involved with the club, and we need them to come out and support us. Like, they're there for the men's games. We need them to come out and support us for the women's games. And like, I'm going to keep pestering them, and I'm going to keep driving them mad until they come out to games, because we want them out there supporting them. We want to make Cork City a club that is not just supported on the men's side, but we have a massive following on the women's side, and we generate that atmosphere that's at the men's games. And if we can create that and do that, we'll achieve bigger things in the future.
I'm sure they will. And Danny, I guess going back to this season, I know, and again, as I said earlier, we're only four games in. What goals do you have in mind for, or season objectives do you have for the rest of the year?
Yeah, for us, look, it's about, we're still young. We're averaging an age of 18.5 in terms of young girls, and we're still trying to develop them in aspects of their game. And we want to improve on where we was last year. And if we improve on that, we'll continue to develop. We're not looking too far up the table, and we don't want to be down the bottom half of the table. We want to be competing mid-table, and want to continue to grow and develop and improve. And if we can keep doing that, then we'll have achieved this season, and then we can continue to grow in year two, year three next year, the years after that, and hopefully then we can make a successful team and club that can go and compete for trophies at the top end of the table.
I mean, 18 and a half the average age, I'd imagine that's the youngest team in the league.
Yeah, I'd say we are. We may be a couple, maybe Sligo might be a little bit close to us, but I'd say we're still the youngest team. And look, we were young as well last year, and we knew last year wasn't great, and we had aspects of our game that were really good, and we could see continued improvement. But this year it's like is very different, and we continue to develop and improve. And but for me, it's about going and be competitive in every game, because I know that we've got the players with their individual ability to go and win us a game.
Yeah, and I suppose it has its disadvantages in maybe terms of experience, etc., but also an advantage, I guess, if you can keep this group together for long enough, you know, eventually together with all their experience, something good could happen.
Yeah, no, look, and I think I agree with you. Like, if we can keep the group together and continue to grow, like some of these girls at like 16, 17, 18 will have, hopefully in the next 2-3 years, they'll have 100, 200 games, hopefully getting close to them sort of numbers. But, and that's where they're going to get the experiences playing the game. And look, they're all good enough, they're all technically able to do it. Now it's about improving their game development and understanding when to do certain things and aspects within the game that they can improve on. And they're only going to learn that by playing. You know, you can watch all the video and do all the stuff you want, but by playing the game is where you learn the most things. So we decided to go younger. We brought one or two experienced players in this year that have really added to the group and maybe made the help with the younger girls in terms of their development. And it's about having the right people that come in and with the experience that are going to help the younger ones grow, and not just having players with experience who are only interested in being and playing for Cork City. They're here about helping and understanding the process of where we're trying to get to.
Sligo tonight, what are we expecting from them?
It'll be a physical game. It'll be direct. And we've got to compete on that part. And I think if we do the physical and the ugly side of the game, that our quality will show, and we'll be able to play and get the ball down and move it well, and we'll create opportunities. But first things first is we have to go up and win the individual battles and make sure that we win the first balls and second balls. And if we do that, I think then we can potentially get 3 points out of the game. But we've got to go up and do the hard part first, which is wanting to work hard and compete against your opposition. And that's what we have to do. If we do that, then I'll be happy if we can do that, because I think then we've got the quality to go and win the game.
Danny, brilliant stuff. Best of luck tonight. So next Saturday, 7:35, Cork City versus Tralee, back in Turner's Cross. Anything you'd like to say to the Cork public before we depart to drag it out?
Like, for me, it's like, come out and support the girls. There's a lot of young girls playing football in Cork, and we need your support, and it'll give these younger girls that are coming through Cork City and Cork someone to look up to and aspire to. And we've got some quality young talent that needs the support of the general public, and you know, all the podcasts, all the people who are involved in helping with the football club and who have involvement here, which is huge amounts of people. We need you to come out to games. We need you to come and get behind the team and support them.
Danny Murphy, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Brilliant stuff out of Danny there. Newcestown 2-14, Carbery Rangers 7 points. Newcestown registered an emphatic McCarthy Insurance Group Division 1 County Football League victory at home to Carbery Rangers in Newcestown on Friday evening. A one-sided West Cork derby saw the hosts dominate from the second quarter onwards. A converted Eddie Keneally penalty and second half Jack Mead goal earned Newcestown an emphatic victory. The Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to Carbery Rangers manager Seamus Hayes and his Newcestown counterpart Jim O'Sullivan after the game.
Okay, I reported on your win over Castlehaven not too long ago. Black and white, night and day. So, look, poor shooting, difficult night, bad day at the office. What do you put that performance, or just not inability to just get the scores that you normally get, James?
Yeah, I think, look, in the first half, we were very, very wasteful. Scores that we would, you know, normally have been getting, as you said, in the last couple of games, they weren't going for us. Dropping ball short as well, which was something we had, you know, eradicated from our game, really, you know, which had been a problem last year, but they just seemed to seep back in. You know, when you're coming up to Newcestown on a Friday night, you always know the welcome you're going to get here, you know. I thought they were excellent. You know, they were everything tonight that we would have looked from our fellas, you know. They ran hard, got stuck in. Look, you'll always get that from Newcestown, in fairness, and huge credit to them. Very disappointed with our own performance, especially the second half, you know. You're 4 points down at halftime, you're looking for a response. Came out and kicked, I think, 3 short into the keeper's hands again, and 4, you know, and like, you know, just look, it deflates any team, I think. Yeah, and we did look deflated after that, and they picked us off on the counter attack then, which was credit to them. Their tails were up, you know. So, yeah, very disappointing. Very, very disappointing. But look, again, maybe it was going too much in the right direction, Jar, and yeah, this might be a little bit of a
reality check.
Exactly.
It's not a bad thing.
Exactly.
To go back to it again, like, the consistency you've been looking for since you took over. I mean, when you get a setback like this, now yeah, it's on the players to make
yeah, look, you don't become a bad team overnight, I think, and nor do you become, look, world beaters overnight, yeah, either. You know, I think we're somewhere in the middle. We're going to have to match any team we play in terms of their work rate, their physicality, their desire. I think in the first half we did, to be fair, yeah, it was just a little bit of conversion, as I said, but the second half was an unperformance, you know, and I think we'll have a nice training session prepared for the lads now Sunday morning to pay for that.
Here he is speaking to Newcestown manager Jim O'Sullivan.
As good a performance as I've seen in the league from Newcestown, without talking about championship, how happy are you, first of all, with the full 60 minute performance? Because when you got ahead, you kept your foot on the gas and kept going.
Yeah, we were thrilled. I suppose the first half was the main thing. We worked really hard in the first half, and when we didn't have time, then we were happy with it. So then, I suppose it was the work rate in the first half that laid the foundations.
That goal immediately after half time was out from Jack. I mean, that calmed you down again. You were picking off points down one by one.
It did. The game kind of got, I won't say easy, but I suppose it knocked the stuffing out of Camber, yeah, Rangers, and it came at the right time for us. Yeah. So, and we just pushed on from there then.
For a team that hadn't played a game, competitive league game, in a month, I mean, I know you're hurling, yeah, but I mean, that's, you've got to be satisfied with that.
Oh, completely. But look, I always say that it's the nature of the club. You jump from football to hurling, and they're happy. It doesn't make a difference what they're playing. I think since the Castlehaven game, I think we'd only got 2 training sessions in football, and you know, I suppose with the weather and everything. But the performance is good. I know probably Carbery Rangers will miss a couple of the same as ourselves. I suppose their shooting boots are off, and handed us impetus for the rest of the game. Didn't like.
So, how important is it to be competitive in Division 1 this year in football heading into the championship?
I wouldn't. Competitive is, I suppose, what we, our main goal to start was, you know, to learn every game. You know, trying to, when you're playing one-code clubs, mm, who have 2 weeks of prayer between every game, it's very hard to compete with that. So we just wanted to be competitive and learn. If we were relegated from it, so be it, as long as we were learning and giving young fellas a game and just bloody a couple more players.
David Buckley back as well tonight. Great to see him back.
It's great, but it's great for himself. He's a super footballer, and I think he should be playing with the Cork Senior footballers, but I'm patriotic, and it was great to have him back there. It's great to have a good leader and a huge man, and he's fit, and he just wants to play football, and it was great to have him there. And the negative side of it, then, to lose a player like Colm O'Donovan, I'd say he's after popping his shoulder. Okay. So, for himself, Colm is wretched with injuries, between ankles and shoulders, and just to see him go off is just gut wrenching, really, for us, for all the players to see him that, you know.
Sorry, Gareth, bye.
I know.
Thanks to Ger McCarthy there. Now to a bit of ladies football and the Echolive.ie's Rory Noonan interviewed Cork LGFA senior manager Shane Ronan following their football championship clash versus Kerry in Brosna, which the Kingdom won 114-110.
Shane, obviously you didn't win, but massive positives from Cork from that match.
Yeah, look, he never has a defeat probably tasted so good in the fact that, look, we know Kerry are probably that step ahead of us, but we came down here today and we were down a lot of players. We got Knox and Eagles came out last week with, you know, Katie Quirk, Rachel Lee, you know, Amar tweaked a hip flexor during the week. Look, we had the Camogie guards as well. We couldn't start them because of the David Munster semi-final tomorrow. We were hoping not to use them at all, really. Now, we know we wanted to get time into Hannah, all right, because she hadn't played last week because she had been away. But look, there was players out there again making their first starts for Cork. We have 25 players used in the Senior A Championship. We're delighted with the application. We're still that bit behind Kerry, we know that, and we know it's not going to be a magic wand that that those players come back in and everything changes. But I know Kerry are going to come out from that performance as well. They did an easy win last week, and today was, you know, they dug it out there as well. Kerry, you know, they still got some great scores when they needed to get great scores. But we're very, very happy with our own crowd. The players stepped up today, making their first ass. Like Simon McGuire, centre back, 2 points. You know, Melissa, you know, still going strong. You scored a brilliant goal, and look, Lydia McDonough. She's gone through a difficult time of late. Like, you know, she was missing chances and, you know, the confidence was down. But we just said to her tonight to train, like, you know, just back yourself, you know. Even think you're playing for Neva Bond, because she's a brilliant scorer for Neva Bond. And, like, she got a point here in the first half that, you know, you'd pay money to see. It was a brilliant point. So, look, we're delighted with them. We're disappointed we didn't win it, because I felt, you know, it was actually there for the taking at times. But as I said, I think we're probably, you know, maybe one level below Kerry at the moment. Can we breach that gap, you know, in a few weeks' time if we get over Tipperary? Hard to know. I think that game will bring Kerry on as well, because they did have an easy win the last day. But look, we've tipped the next day. It's a straight shootout. Whoever wins gets into the final with Kerry, I think. We're very happy going away this evening, and even a small bit disappointed we didn't get a win.
Obviously, there's, as you said, a lot of young players out there for Cork. Some of them have their first starts in Championship. You know, a match like this is going to do them a lot of good. You mentioned Lydia. She's been threatening to do it for a while. She did it today.
Yeah, look, she has, in fairness to her. Like, you know, she's trying very hard, working very hard, had been playing great football. You know, and I suppose she was in a high-pressure situation in the league where there was a lot of pressure being put on young shoulders, you know, that she hadn't played a lot of senior football for Cork. But look, she went out there today, took the responsibility of the freeze away from we know Katie. No problems with her, you know. She missed a couple in the second half, but look, we're not worried about that. And as I said, got a couple of great points in play. So look, we're delighted with her, like Leah Hallinan making her first start. In Championship football, you know, Caitlin Smith getting her first start in Championship football. Like, these players have been very, very good underage players in Cork, but it's a huge step up. But we're delighted with the step up they made today. So look, we now have a selection headache for next week in the Tip game. We've got a very competitive squad, and look, hopefully we can get the job done next week against Tip. We know that's going to be hard. They're going to be very confident after today as well, and look, they have some serious players. They might be missing a few, but they still have the likes of Ashton Maloney and Ollie, so Emma Morrissey, two very good forwards. So, and they got four goals today. We're going to have to be very wary of that.
Yes, so you mentioned Tipperary. Obviously, a lot of people have expected Waterford to beat them. So now, it is a straight shoot, as you knew it was going to be. But they're going to be coming in with renewed confidence coming into that match that maybe you may not have expected.
Yeah, look, absolutely. But look, I suppose I know the Tip girls, you know, most of them would have been involved with me, and obviously not new players there as well. Look, and I suppose I'm teaching with one of them. The principal of our school is a Tipperary manager, so I know what's going on there. They're working very hard, and look, they know I know what they can do. So we're going to have to be on our guard next week. We beat them very well last year in Clonakilty, but previous to that, we had played them in the championship, and there was only 3 points between us. And look, we got to run them last year early. We got 3 or 4 goals in the first 10 minutes, and the game was probably over at that stage. But I know the Tipperary are very, very, very hurt by that game, and they are certainly going to be going out next Saturday in Mallow to prove a point. And now they have a chance of getting to Munster final, and I don't know when Tipperary are last in the Munster senior final. So it's a huge chance for them, and we know that if we don't perform next Saturday, and we don't, you know, take our chances, and you know, don't give away sloppy goals, that if we mess up, then Tip are going to beat us, because they are a good team.
No doubt you'll be looking for the crowds to come out next Saturday. If it's a double header done in Mallow, the Senior B's road as well, no doubt you'll be calling the Cork crowd come out and support you on the day.
Yeah, look, as I said, the Senior B had a great win last week against Kerry. They're working very hard. Like we kind of lent them 8 players as well, so you know, Kieran is doing great work with them. And I think, look, it'll be great next Saturday if we can get 2 wins and 2 teams, then we'll be in the Munster final on May 18th if we do our job next Saturday. And that'll be great for the development of Cork football. And you know, I think, you know, we've 25 players to use, as I said. The only 5 that couldn't use, there's 1 girl was away, and 4 girls have been injured. So, and then there was 20 more used last weekend. So 45 players have played, you know, in championship football, adult football for Cork this summer so far. So, look, we're delighted with that, and hopefully we can get 2 wins next Saturday. And I think, you know, I think the buzz is coming back. You know, people were down the dumpster after the league, but I don't think there's anybody talking about the league now. The league form goes out the window. We've seen that in the men's game in the last weekend with all these teams winning leagues, and you know, Clare and the hurling, Derry in the football. You know, league form goes out the window. Championship is championship, and championship is about performing. And look, we're after 2 good performances, and we're, as I said last week, I think we're only going to get better. These younger players are starting to come through. Look, the older heads, you know, are bringing them on as well. They're driving it on, and look, there's a great atmosphere there. There's fierce fighting this squad, and said we're going to have some job now, you know, picking a 26 for next weekend. And you know, look, pick the 20 we're going to use. It's fantastic. So like, that's a great position to be in. We're very happy with the way things are going, and look, a testament to the players and testament to all my management. There's been massive work done there since the league finished, especially as we said. You know, people keep saying it, when you get time with the players, you can get them to do the things you want them to do. And I think, look, our players are showing the fruits of that now.
Great stuff. Cork booked their place in the Airgrid Munster Under 20 Football Championship Final in style on Wednesday night. The Rebels ran out 5-18 to 13 point winners over Clare and Super Value Parky Keeve. Cork will now face Kerry next Wednesday's final. That's in Tralee after the Kingdoms win over Tip. Joe McCarthy has been speaking to Cork boss Ray O'Mahony.
Ray, first of all, congratulations. You've gotten to an Airgrid Munster Under 20 Championship Final. I would imagine that's one of the targets at the start of the year. A big, convincing win against Clare tonight, but how much or what did you learn from that game?
Well, I suppose our objective this evening was to win, to give us an opportunity to have another, you know, go off our rivals across the county bounds. And all we can do really was play with what was in front of us. To be fair to Clare, look, they obviously had 2 defeats, and you know, maybe their demeanour was a bit down. But look, all we can do is we were fully aware that we had to have our guard up. We've seen a lot of funny results at this grade around the country, you know, over the last number of weeks, and I think we prepared superly for it, and we did what we had to do, like, you know. In terms of learning, we have a few new lads that started there tonight, like, and got runs that we hadn't seen before. Like, Pat Kearney was very good when he came on, Trevor Kiley as well, Aaron Mannix in goal, 3 1-on-1s, you know, his kickouts were very good, you know. So we've a lot of food for thought for next week, like, you know.
Taking one step back for a second before we talk about Kerry, the format this year, the extra games that Clare, Tipperary and Limerick got, are you a fan of that? Are you a fan of the games that you've had, or would you prefer just a more kind of linear kind of knockout phase?
No, I think it's brilliant for the development of these guys. They're still very young men. They're young men, young boys becoming men, you know. And like, you look at Clare there tonight, I spoke to Michael Nealon, like, they're after 6 games, they've had a really good campaign. Okay, they didn't come out the right way tonight, but from our own perspective, like, we got 3 games, like, we still weren't guaranteed anything tonight. Before tonight's game, we had to go out and perform and get a result. So look, we've 3 games under our belt, competitive games, and that can only be a positive.
Is it competition for places essentially gives players a chance to put their hands up with that many games?
Yeah, like, I think we use 26 players now as of tonight, you know, in the championship. So, like, that's a fair amount of players we've used, and it's we have a lot of headaches as a management team to go through over the next few days, like, to see where we're going, and the challenge that faces us next Wednesday.
Yeah, that challenge down in Kerry, I mean, it doesn't get any tougher when it comes to Munster, maybe not in the whole country, but from your perspective, how happy are you now where you are after the 3 games going into that game?
Yeah, look, really happy because, I mean, we won two and we've lost one. We learned a lot last week in the Kerry match. You know, we saw a bit of new blood tonight now that will give us food for thought. Look, I think we're 35 players are reasonably fit now for next week, which is a great place to be, and when you're considering you're playing in week in, week out, you know. Really looking forward. This is what we're involved in for. This is why we you know, it's like a drug, this Gaelic football, and anyone that's involved in Cork football, that's where they want to go, is down to Trillina Wednesday night. Great atmosphere, loads of noise, you know. Obviously Kerry being mad favourites now, being at home and all that, and but look, we'll go out and we'll embrace it, and we'll see what comes out in the wash, you know.
And just finally, you're obviously enjoying the role, you're enjoying working with this particular group of players. Your view at this stage of the talent and the depth of talent, not just the panel that you picked, but at this age grade throughout the county?
Yeah, look, we went through a fairly rigorous trial process back in October, and you know, I look at David Buckley came in through the trial process, never wore a Cork jersey before. Aaron Mannix was another one. Fionnán Leahy's another one. He came on in the second half, and he came on it in the first game. So like, there's a lot of these young players develop at different rates, and you know, some fellas have a dip in form, and some young players then excel, and but look, I think there's lots of talent in this county, you know. But you know, like, we're having great fun in this as well. Like, when we cross the line, we're serious, but we have great fun in this, and it's really important because at the end of the day, playing for Cork doesn't put a roof over their heads or put bread on the table, like, you know. So but they I cannot question their commitment. All 36 of them have just given to the cause for the red jersey, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, all the best in Kerry next week. We'll be right behind you on the big red bench. Well done.
Thanks, Gerard. Thanks.
Thanks to Gerard. The ref's whistle has gone for half time here on the big red bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have a Cork hurling preview, as well as looking ahead to Cork Cons clash versus Terranure in the AIL final tomorrow. Be right back after these.
Red Bench. Big Red Bench. On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. A little earlier, I was joined by Matthew Hurley, also known as the Gaelic Statsman, to preview Cork's Do or Die clash versus Clare tomorrow at 2 in the park. Enjoy this one. We're once again delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the one and only Matthew Hurley of at Gaelic Statsman and on social medias. Matthew, how are you first of all, anyway?
Yeah, all good, Dan. Can't complain.
You watched Offaly Westmead. What way did you see that one going?
Yeah, it was just Offaly deserved it in the end. It's better shooting accuracy than Westmead. That was probably the main thing out of the day. And mainly, like, this was a weird enough game. First of all, there was a red card within 25 seconds, I think it was, for Jason Sampson. So I think that has to be some sort of record. And there was an own point in this game from Killian Kiley of Offaly. So it was a bit of a weird game more than anything, but Offaly needed the win. They got the win in the end. And Westmead, uphill battle now for them. Two losses in a row. So yeah, Offaly, crucial win, but for Westmead, tough defeat to take.
Speaking of uphill battles, we're talking about this Cork hurling team now. They have a serious uphill battle against the Bannermen tomorrow in Super Value Park in Kyiv.
Yeah, big battle for Cork, and crucial one as well, because like, no one would have envisaged last weekend losing the Waterford. Like, the fact that I think the players kind of started off very, very slowly, and then like the second half wasn't too bad. I think I think they had 14 shots taken out of 16 in the second half alone. That was 89%, which was very, very good, to be fair to them. But I just think they left it a bit too late, Dan. Like, in the first half, they were very lackadaisical. They had half their shots exactly only taken. Waterford looked more hungry, in all honesty. And the players didn't look as hungry as a Munster Championship team should do, but hopefully the second half performance against Waterford will carry on to the Clare game. And there's been a lot of big decisions for Pat Ryan during the week, dropping a load of players. I think there's been 5 or 6 changes to the team, so that's quite a lot of changes to make. So yeah, that surely is a statement for the players to maybe perform better. But at the same time, Clare have a lot of thinking to do as well after their loss to Limerick. But at the same time, like, that was a Limerick team that are obviously going for the 5 in a row, but Clare should have won that game. So both sides will be going in thinking, we have to go and win this. And to be honest, the loser of this can wave goodbyes in a Munster Championship, in all honesty. Like, at the same time though, I think only one team that has lost 2 games out of the first two has actually gone on to finish in the top three. Coincidentally, that was Cork a few seasons ago. So maybe history will repeat itself, Dan.
Oh, well, we better hope for the win anyway, first of all, though, I would say. Do you just think there was a nonchalance in the Cork side that we're just going to show up here, beat these Waterford lads handy enough? Sure, we did it in the league. It'd be no bother to us again.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was a bit of disrespect to Waterford more than anything. Like, a lot of people thought that Waterford would roll over and Cork would beat them handy and things like that. But Waterford still had a very good team out. Like, when Jamie Barron went out in the field, Tyte Burke came back after a league campaign being missing. Conor Prunty came back into the team. It was always going to be a tough game for Cork. And they just started slowly, as I said, Dan. It was just lackadaisical. It was poor more than anything. The shot taking was poor. The effort was there, but it was just the intensity wasn't there up to the higher level of a Munster Championship game. And they have to fix those problems now against Clare tomorrow, because it's going to be a huge game in Super Value Park in Kyiv. And if the Cork Pro don't get you up for a big game like this, I don't think anything will.
Oh, they'll be baying for blood inside in the park tomorrow, I'd say. But this Clare team is absolutely stacked. You have the likes of Mark Rogers, Shane O'Donnell. I mean, it's going to be very tough for a young lad like Owen Downey is named at fullback. To be fair, I actually probably do think he will start there, but that's a big call to bring in a young lad like that to mark Shane O'Donnell.
It's a huge call, yeah, but it's like...
It's a time for huge calls.
Maybe it is a call that Pat Ryan needed to make. You have younger lads in around the back line to deal with the likes of Shane O'Donnell and Mark Rogers inside there, because these are pacey players for Clare. And Owen Downey, young legs, brilliant in the under-20s over the last few seasons. So maybe it's what Cork needed, a bit of young legs around the back line. And maybe Pat Ryan is making a statement of intent as well, even in midfield, bringing Ethan Toomey, another young player coming in from the Barrows. There's a few young players coming in as well. So, and obviously Brian Hayes in the forward line. So, like, maybe Pat Ryan is bringing these young lads to say, hey lads, we need more legs around this Clare team, because what Clare do bring is energy. The likes of Mark Rogers, the likes of Adam Hogan in the back line, the likes of David Fitzgerald in midfield, and Cork need to match them, not just physically, but for pace-wise as well. And I think Cork, this is the closest they can do to come up against a Clare juggernaut like this. And it will be a tough game. I know it's at home and all that, in front of a Cork crowd and home soil, but Clare are going to be a very tough team, and they might be a sleeping bear given the result last week they got against Limerick, and the fact that they lost it while being 9 points up at one stage going to the last 10 minutes. So, like, Clare will be hungry for the victory too, Dan. So it's going to be a huge game tomorrow. And yeah, Pat Ryan, if the selections come back to bite him on the backside, there might be a few questions after this.
I think so as well, I would have to say. Cork people, 2 years not getting out of Munster in a row, that ain't going to go down well anywhere at all. Like,
it isn't really. And I suppose last season, the fans gave the benefit of the doubt and the media gave the benefit of the doubt, given the Cork, the two games they lost were by a point. And in those games, like Limerick, they were brilliant at shooting-wise, but Limerick just found a way to get over the line. Clare, it was a last-minute point. And to be honest, Cork played really, really bad that day, in my opinion, and should have won that game against Clare. So that was the most frustrating aspect of it. But if they were to go out of Munster the first hurdle 2 seasons in a row, again, as you said, Dan, it won't go down too well. And there'd be a lot of questions about Pat Ryan. And obviously, you want him to succeed. I want him to succeed as manager. I think he's the best man for the job. Like, the job he did at the under-20s was incredible, mm-hmm. when he took All-Ireland in a row. So if he was to go out of Munster the first hurdle for the second season in a row, it's not going to go down well, and there could be a rumour of the sack going around. And obviously, I don't want that to happen. I hope Pat Ryan stays in the job for as long as he can, but there will be a lot of questions asked if they do lose tomorrow.
Do you think maybe he's a bit too loyal to a fault to some of the guys when they're not performing well? He's not quick enough and taking them off, maybe?
Possibly so, but maybe he's not loyal enough now tomorrow to the players that were questioned during the week. Like, dropping Conor Lehan is a statement. Dropping Damien Callaghan is a big statement at the full back line, considering the way Damien Callaghan has played over the last few seasons. and bring in the likes of Brian Hayes, Eaton Toomey around the team as well is an even massive statement. So I think this is kind of the last hurrah, last roll of the dice for Pat Ryan. If it works, everyone will call him a hero more than anything. If it doesn't work, it could go to backfire him. And at the same time, like, we were thinking that he was bringing these young players last season, and he was, to be fair, and it looked to be good for the future of Cork hurling. But then he was bringing more of the older lads this year, like Conor Lehan in there, Patrick Horgan in there, Seamus Hartley, and there was a lot of questions asked during the week. And given the performance against Waterford, that kind of came to fruition. So it's going to be a big, big 70 minutes for Pat Ryan more than anything, because like, if they do lose, there'll be again a lot of questions asked of it, potentially even the lads that did play against Waterford that played again tomorrow against Clare. There will be a lot of questions asked about Pat Ryan as to why those fellas are in the starting lineup as well. So it's going to be a big 70 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, with the three lads you kind of mentioned there, Haughey, Harnady, Lehan, who started the 2013 All-Ireland against Clare. Like, we're 11 years on now and they're still starting now. They're absolutely incredible players, and I'd have Haughey in the team every day of the week, but they just weren't really at the races against Waterford.
And take, for example, actually Limerick going for five in a row. Like, you don't see a Limerick team that won the Munster Championship that season in 2013, coincidentally, have any players around the panel. I think only one, Graham Mulcahy, Treffman from Ramdan there. So, like, I think that's the only guy for Limerick. And they've brought in these new talented players. And that's what Cork need to do as well. I think Lehan is probably... Like, they have given a lot, Lehan, Hartney, Hoggy. They've been absolutely outstanding over the last two seasons. But maybe there is a time to bring in these young players as well. There is a time to bring in the likes of... Well, to be fair, Pat Ryan is doing that tomorrow now. He's bringing the likes of... he's keeping faith with Alan Connolly. He's bringing in Brian Hayes. He's keeping faith with Shane Barrett, which is a huge decision. I think it's the right decision as well. Robbie O'Flynn, I don't think he's in the team, Dan. So that was a big call to make. I think he's been absolutely exceptional, probably for Cork over the last two seasons. I don't know, is it an injury? Is there something going on behind the scenes there? Declan Dalton coming back in is a big move as well from Pat Ryan, and one that he needed to make. But yeah, for the three lads, it's going to be a big pressure cooker game for the two lads that are starting, Hartley and Haughey, tomorrow, because if they don't perform, again, a lot of questions will be asked, not just about Pat Ryan and the management and the whole team itself, but about them two players that are starting as well.
There's something telling me that I know Pat Ryan isn't really into these bogey teams, but this is going to be one of them. And I think, for some reason, I'm feeling Jack O'Connor is going to get a start. Be that ahead of Haughey there in a corner forward. I am not too sure, actually, Haughey will be starting the game.
It's a big call. It would be a big call to make, and it would make a lot of headlines before throwing. Imagine it on social media now, but
it is, like, it's hard. We're one game in, and it already is a time for these huge calls, which is just madness. Like,
that's the thing, and that's the cutthroat nature of the Munster Championship. Like, in the olden days, you could go into the qualifiers, you'd regroup and all that, but nowadays it's so cutthroat, as you mentioned there. Like, it's like, if you lose the first game, you're under some pressure after that. I remember Tipperary the first year in 2018 that this was brought in. I think they lost the first day against Limerick, and then they drew against Cork, they drew against Waterford, the pressure started to get on, and then they lose to Clare, and suddenly they're out of it. So, like, it's a big game for Cork, no doubt about it. And like, if Haughey was to be dropped, it'll be a massive call for Pat Ryan. It'll make a lot of headlines, and equally with Hartney as well, it would do. Like Jack O'Connor would be a big guy to bring in for pace. Robbie O'Flynn would as well. You question, will they come in as late changes? It'll be a big curveball for Clare, because obviously Brian Lowen would have gone to the training ground during the week and would have prepared for the likes of Haughey, the likes of Hartney, the likes of Decky Dalton, the likes of Shane Barrett, and not necessarily for a speedy player like Jack O'Connor. So the more I think about it, actually, Dan, the more I think you could be right about this, the more I think Jack O'Connor could actually be brought in, because it'd be a massive... it'd be a massive shock to the Clare team, the Clare management. So, yeah, I think that could be definitely a situation that could happen tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, one lad who certainly nailed on is Alan Connolly to get a goal. I mean, 7 goals in 3 games now. Like, I mean, he's just an incredible player, it seems like. Not to put too much pressure on a young lad so soon.
And what Connolly is compared to the other Cork forwards, he's a goal getter. And a lot of people have mentioned this, and he definitely is. Like, 7 goals in 3 games, as you mentioned there. 1-4 against Waterford, which was really, really good. Top scorer, other than Hoggy that day, top scorer from play. And he is definitely a main player for this Cork team, because when he gets to sitter, all that's on his mind is goal for goal. And that's what Cork need in this game. So, yeah, I think, like, he'll be a massive player tomorrow, no doubt about it. And he will give a lot of Clare players nightmares in this game. Like, he's seen what goal getters can do. Last week, even for the Limerick and Clare game, Aaron Gillan was giving Conor Cleary all sorts of problems. Donegal Dolly gave Clare all sorts of problems when he came onto the pitch and struck a goal himself. So Connolly is going to be a big player tomorrow. And it'll be interesting actually to see, Dan, who will go on Connolly tomorrow. Will it be Adam Hogan? Will it be Conor Cleary? We'll have to see tomorrow. That's a big question to be answered.
Well, Matthew, give us a final prediction there.
It's a tough one to call. Suppose I have to go for Cork. I'd have to be positive, don't I?
I have to go for Cork.
I'm going to go for them. I'm going to go for Cork by a point, a late minute, last point winner from Alan Connolly. There you go.
Oh, unreal stuff. Unreal stuff. Shrook will say by a point as well. My head would say Clare, but the heart, obviously, wanting the Rebels. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us once more. Brilliant stuff there from Matthew. We'll talk a bit of rugby now. And Cork Conn go in search of the AIL Division 1A title tomorrow. Conn face Terenure in tomorrow's final in the Aviva. Rory has been chatting to boss Johnny Holland.
All right, delighted to be joined on the line by our pal Johnny Holland of Cork Conn ahead of a huge, huge week for the club. And the Aviva Stadium is calling. Johnny, I'd imagine everyone at the club is absolutely buzzing and raring to go for Sunday.
Yeah, buzzing is one way to put it. I think, like, you know, as a group, we focused on maybe getting a big day in the club, like, you know, last Saturday, and bringing the semi-final home and having people around us, you know. So it was a great day in the club, but, you know, semi-final, the sun was out, you know, people were on the terraces. It was brilliant, but, you know, that's only one piece of the jigsaw, you know, and hopefully those people come up the road with us again on Sunday. And that was, you know, part of our plan was bring it home to a semi-final and bring those people with us to the final, you know. So that's something we've really focused on. And, yeah, it was a great day in the club, but hopefully there's one more, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, I imagine now all the buses are being organised, the bunting is getting ready. I mean, like, all the jerseys are getting bought from the shop. So I'd imagine just everyone just eagerly awaiting Sunday.
Yeah, like, it does kind of pick people up a small bit, you know. And, like, in the club, we've struggled with, you know, 2 away semi-finals. And people will talk about, you know, it being a while since we've been in a final. But in 2019, we won it. In 2020, we were, I don't know, it was 14 or 15 games in a row. I can't say we were going to do it, but we felt like we were going to. And then there was a bit of a funny year with the league that didn't go ahead and stuff like that. So, like, you know, since we've last won it, we've lost 2 semi-finals. We've just won a semi-final. So people talk about it being, I've heard it being said, like, you know, it's been a while since you've been in a final. It hasn't really, if you think we've lost 2 years, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't say we're back to where we belong, but I think we're back to where our ambitions are and getting into finals, but also doing one better and hopefully winning that as well, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You got in there by virtue of an incredible day on Saturday. Great win over Clontarf, 40-34, a packed Cork Conn sunny day. It was a great day and an absolutely cracking game of rugby as well, Johnny.
Yeah, I think that's what I was most pleased with. I think our performance was quite good. Like, we spoke about our attacking game and what we would like to do. And I think the lads really stepped up in terms of the way we played the game. But, you know, we'd have some regrets around allowing... Well, maybe not allowing. Maybe Clontarf did it to us, but they scored quite quickly off set piece and won in transition. So a great day of rugby, and I think great for the neutral. But we probably added to that by letting them score freely, and they picked us apart once or twice. So, you know, that sharpens the focus as well going into a final, because Terenure are as potent, if not more potent than that, and they can certainly get their homework done and have something to throw at us as well. Like, you know, so we definitely have bits and pieces to tidy up. It's not exactly like we're going free-flowing into a final. Like, there's definitely bits and pieces on our mind that we need to get right, and if you don't get that right, we saw what Terenure could do in a final in the Aviva last year as well. Like, you know, so there's plenty that we need to work on, even though last week was very satisfying and a great game of rugby, great for the neutral, great for us as well, to be fair. But there's definitely bits and pieces that we're going to have to kind of clamp down on.
Last play of the game, Johnny, you're 6 points up at Clontarf with ball in hand. My throat was in my mouth, or my heart was in my mouth, just watching that last play. How were you watching that?
Yeah, people said to me, like, you know, my heart and this and that. And I don't know. Like, as a coach, it's very difficult. Like, there's rarely a game you fully enjoy on the sideline. You know, and in the last couple of years, I'd nearly remember. Geez, that was a bit handier. We had a couple of scores, and we were, you know, you're able to relax and let the lads feel their way through it and figure it out for themselves, because you don't want to be on them all the time. But it's rare that you actually sit back as a coach, because it's always tight. Or, you know, in this league as well, teams can pounce and they'll get a score and all of a sudden you're back into it, which is pretty much what happened. Like, they got their score just a bit too early before the end. And we had three opportunities in their 22, three entries that, you know, I would like to think we'd convert at least one of them, but we didn't. And, you know, they kept us out, but I think we went away from what we were good at. And if we converted one of those three, I think we would have been a lot kind of safer. But typical semi-final in Knockout Rugby, they were the ones that fired the shot, and they got within one score, and all of a sudden you're hanging on for dear life at the end of it. But I don't know, I felt like it was just one of those days where the lads were going to do it. They weren't going to let the second score in and bring it back to a kick for Jack Murphy to probably put it over and win. Like, you know, for whatever reason, I felt a small bit comfortable. I wasn't exactly that comfortable either. Like, you're on the sideline wondering who's going to give us a win, who's going to get a turnover, who's going to stop them before us a knock on and stuff like that. Like, you know, so luckily we got there and we didn't, because I think we were in control the whole game. Like, you know, we were ahead for the whole game, so we felt like we were in control. It would have been an awful shame to throw something away like that in your own ground, you know, with people buzzing around the place. So thankfully we got there.
What's it like in the dressing room afterwards then? Is it kind of, is there celebrations, or is it just like, lads, focus, no, we have a huge game in Viva Nate this time?
Absolutely celebrate it. Like, you know, I think it's important that you do that as well. You know, it's, like we said, it's 2019 since we were at home in a semi-final. And, you know, I think it was important that you acknowledge that and allow people into the dressing room. And the dressing room was fairly crowded at one point. Like, you know, there's people coming in, and that's the great part about rugby, I think. And, you know, at least in my experience, rugby, you know, everyone comes into the dressing room afterwards, fellas that aren't involved, club people, and lots of congratulations going on. But that would happen for a league game. It was just as you can imagine, more people come in for a semi-final win like that. So there's a, you know, you have to celebrate that. But obviously, you know, after that, and people leave the group, and and we have our own chat with just the kind of playing group, really. You know, the message was definitely that, you know, we've won nothing. Like, no one remembers a semi-final win at home. Like, you know, you remember it if you win, because I remember beating Trinity in 2019 when we went down to win it. You remember those games, but only if you go on to do something with it. You know, you can't, you know, no one's going to put you up on the wall for winning a semi-final. Like, you know, so it's definitely enjoy it. You know, acknowledge which parts we were good at and what we did to get over the line of a semi-final, but also that, you know, you don't get a trophy for it. So it's time to get our heads back on and back up the road and hopefully have ourselves prepared for Sunday.
Yeah, it was a tough old 80 minutes in hot conditions on Saturday. How were the bodies when they reported back for training?
Yeah, you know what? I think after a win like that, you're going to spring into training on a Tuesday anyway. So minds were fresh. No one was really complaining about soreness. You'll find the players won't complain to me about soreness on a Tuesday before a final anyway. They don't want anything to get into your head. So, no, they were fine. I think you can't go hard at it on a Tuesday after a game like that on a Saturday. And because we've an extra day, you know, we tried to keep it a little bit lighter. But, you know, I think the challenge for those kind of training sessions is that, you know, fellas are going to be sore and they are going to be tired, and people may be operating on different at different paces in training because they're looking after themselves and making sure they recover. So it's not always easy to put together the most intense training session on the Tuesday after something like that, which was never the aim. But we got enough work done, and we'll go into training tonight and get into the weekend then.
It is the defending champions turn your to come at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday. What have you made of them from your games against them this season?
They're very good. You know, they're a very good side. They had a bit of a slow start to the season after winning last year. They went on a tour to Argentina. And then they came into the start of the season, and, you know, I'm not sure why. There's obviously a little bit of a hangover after winning it. Going back to back is obviously a difficult thing to do. They're making a good stab at it at the moment anyway. They put themselves in the right position to do that, but you know, it was always going to be a difficult start, and they showed that it was. We beat them up there in one of the opening three games in the first block, you know, so they definitely didn't start very well, but they've gone 13 on the bounce now, like, you know, so they're like 12 league games and a semi-final, so they're certainly back. But they're a very strong side. They're well coached. They have a lot of excitement around how they play the game, but they're also, like, you can talk about their attack and keeping the ball alive and all that kind of stuff, but they're very confrontational. They've got a very good maul. They're very good in around the tight. Their pack is filled with personality. You know, so they've got it from every angle of the game plan and strategy and everything else. If they don't beat you one way, they can beat you another way. So, you know, they've keep us on our toes. They obviously enjoy the Aviva. Last one 2 years ago, they ran riot there last year on the pitch, but they scored a lot of points, you know. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. They're fully worth their value at the top of the table and fully worth their final spot. So we'll see how we can get on against them on Sunday.
I'm playing at the Aviva. If you as a coach, is it a case of just saying to the lads, look, lads, just play the pitch, ignore your surroundings and just get on with it?
Ignore the surroundings in one sense, but know what you're going into as well. I mean, like, if you bury your head in the sand and think, oh, there's not going to be a crowd, or they're not going to be shouting at us, or, you know, there's not going to be an atmosphere, then you'll get onto the pitch and get a fright, you know. So you do need to, like, it's the same game within the same four lines, you know, same opposition, one referee, you know, two touch judges and ARs, you know. So it's the same game. But at the same time, if you pretend that there's not going to be a tear in your crowd shouting at you, they bring a lot of atmosphere. So if you pretend that that's not going to happen, or you pretend you're not in the Aviva Stadium, you're going to get a bit of a rude awakening 5 minutes into that game. Like, you know, so in one sense, you have to kind of say the game still is two teams going at it, but you need to understand that you're in a different environment. So, like, I mean, with the semi-final last week, we were trying to keep things very similar, you know, trying to keep everything the same. For me, I was thinking, you know, if the club wants to get beer tents and all the rest of it, off they go. But for us, it's the exact same thing on the pitch. But, you know, if you pretend that going up to the Aviva on a Sunday with a double header and all the rest of it isn't different, then you're lying to yourself. It is different. So get comfortable with the difference and the chaos that might ensue, and hopefully you come out the other end of it with, you know, with a performance that you can be proud of. That's the main aim. Be proud of a performance, see what happens after that.
And then for you in the build-up as a coach, is it just a case of keeping everything the exact same and just keeping to your set, I suppose, way you've been doing things over the course of the season, and try and ignore the fact, I suppose, almost, that it's a final on Sunday?
I don't think you can. You know, I don't think you can in my position, because you have to make sure that the lads are comfortable, they have enough information, they're confident going into it. You'll definitely do a small bit more work. Like, you know, there's not that you don't do it for every other game, but it's the last one. You know, you can't just not. If there's something that you feel you hadn't looked at, you'd have a lot of regret. But it's also making sure that the lads are very, very comfortable in what our approach is. And making sure we're all on the same page, like that we're very comfortable going up there. That's the main aim for you as a coach. Like, you know, not that your work is done by the time you get there, but I feel as a coach, the front end of the week is the busiest, because you're trying to get the work done for the lads and then allow them to kind of take it on bit by bit throughout the week, and then they get out there with your support, but background support by the time you hit the pitch on Sunday, and they're the ones that are really driving it on. If you're not in that position, I don't think you're going to win, you know. So the lads need to make sure that they have, or they need to feel like they've got a lot of ownership over it, and you pass it on bit by bit throughout the week. But all of our coaches are working hard, you know, putting a lot of bits and pieces together for the players to make sure they have enough. And then, you know, we're there with them the whole way, but it's up to them to really convert.
Is your phone hopping with fellas looking for tickets?
No, it's not. It's not, to be fair. So hopefully people come up the road with us on Sunday. I think that's a challenge as well. Like, I mean, going up to Dublin, they're obviously situated in Dublin. It's not too far over the road. So, like, not too many people hounding me for tickets, but I don't think they're that hard to get in a big stadium. So, they've brought a lot of atmosphere in the last couple of years. So hopefully we can bring something to support us with that as well. But no, if anyone's looking for tickets, they'll get them fairly handy.
Johnny, thanks very much for talking to us today, buddy, and very, very best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks, Rory. Appreciate it.
Yeah, best of luck to Cork Con tomorrow at the Aviva. Note, back to a bit of football, and Ringman Rangers go in search of their first ever FAI Intermediate Cup crown tomorrow. The Cork side face Glebenorth at Weaver Park in Drogheda. Ahead of the game, Rory has been speaking to Ringman boss Aidan Foley.
Now, ahead of a massive week for Ringman Rangers, I am delighted to be joined on the line now by their manager, Aidan Foley. Aidan, how are you, sir?
How things are? I feel brilliant, feel excited. Just waiting for the day to come now, you know.
What's the buzz around the club like this week?
It's been unbelievable. It's not even just the club, it's the whole community. Can't walk down the street without people coming up trying to talk to you about the game. There's bunting all over Mahon at the moment. It's brilliant to see, John.
And for Ringmahon, Aidan, to get one step further than they have done in recent years, they've been in a number of semi-finals, but to get to the final now, what does that actually mean to the club?
It's huge to the club. Like, for a club our size, we've actually never won a national cup at any level. The mindset senior, we've never won one at any age. So to win one at senior, hopefully, will be a huge stepping stone for us, you know.
Talk to me about the squad you have, Aidan. I know a lot of your lads are Mahon natives, so it means a lot for them as part of their community, I suppose.
Oh, it does, yeah. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of lads from Mahon on the team, and even if lads who aren't from Mahon, we treat as their own, you know, because they're a huge part of us. But there's a lot of players that would have come through the academy, like, means a lot to them.
And talk to me, Aidan, as well, about some of the players who I suppose have really helped you to get to the final.
Well, see, like, I feel like the difference between this year and previous years is we brought in, nothing against any other centre-backs, but we brought in two centre-backs there that have real leadership qualities in Tony Whitehead and Kaká. They're two class players, to be fair, and obviously with the likes of Anthony McAlevey and stuff doing his business on the other end, it's just clicked this year, you know.
Talk to me about your route to the final as well, Aidan. I mean, like beating Rockmount, the defending champions, in the semi-final, and that was a huge, huge game.
Yeah, it was a huge game. It was a huge game. Like, they've been brilliant for the last number of years. Like, and to beat them was excellent. Like we'd actually had a very tough running, having to beat Avondale, Kilbarrick, Airfield, Rockmount. Like, so it's well deserved to be there, you know.
Aidan, at what stage of the season did you think to yourselves, right, we have a team here who's capable of going on and winning something?
Do you know what? No, it was up in the airfield. Like, we had to travel up the airfield in a red warning. the wind was mental up there. We were but game into extra time. We conceded an extra time, and with 7 or 8 minutes left to go, we were able to pull it back to actually win the game. And I just felt, after that game, going back down the road in that storm, that this is our year, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed it will be. Talk to me about your opponents on Sunday, Glebe North. What do you know about them? Have you been able to see much of them?
Just a few videos. I was going to go up, but I couldn't get up in the end. But yeah, we watched a few videos. They're a very good side.
But I suppose it's more about playing your own game, really, Aidan, as opposed to worrying about your opponents, is it?
It is, yeah, it is. It is. If we look, no matter kind of who it is, we'd kind of concentrate on our own things. Yes, we look for their strengths and weaknesses, but again, look, we kind of stick to what we feel is best for us, you know?
And what's it like now in training this week, Aidan? Is it hard to keep a lid in fellas? Are fellas nervous? And what's your role then in just calming everything down and getting everyone ready for Sunday?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, like, they're well up for it, and then I'm like, Jesus, let's relax, you know? Don't tell anyone we're getting injured, but then they're mad going because, like, they're still in positions to fight for, which is understanding. But look, The main thing is stay focused, and that's what they're doing, you know.
Yeah. Are you disappointed it's not on in the Aviva Stadium, Aidan?
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed it's not on the Aviva, but I'm disappointed it's not on in Dublin. I think bringing us to Drogheda, like, it's a bit tough. Like, we'd have double the crowd if it was somewhere in Dublin. Like, and just going past Dublin, it's just made it a small bit harder to organise and stuff like that. But look, it is what it is, no?
Yeah, and I know it's been played in Richmond Park a couple of times as well, so that probably seems like a better venue for the Intermediate Cup final.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, we thought that as well. And we were actually taught at the start of the season it's going to be in Dublin, but I don't know, they changed their minds.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But regardless, you're going to have plenty going up there. You're going to have plenty of red and black jerseys up there in Drogheda, and that support is going to be vital.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think there's like 52, there's 5 buses going up, there's trains, people are jumping on trains, and I know a lot of people are driving, so we're going to have good support.
Would you be confident, Aidan, heading up there?
I would, because of the preparation we're doing, and what I see in the focus, and the lads, it's unbelievable. But like, for amateur football, the commitment that they put in, it's unbelievable. Like, people don't realise, like these lads have jobs, like, and to look after their bodies the way they do, it's exceptional. So when I look at our preparation and what they do, it gives me huge confidence. But we know it's going to be very hard task, like.
Well, fingers crossed, Aidan, you will be crowned Intermediate Cup champions this coming Sunday. From everyone here at Cork's Red FM, the very, very best of luck, and bring that trophy back to Cork.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Dan Casey signing off here on the Big Red Bench. Best of luck to Cork Con, Ringman Rangers, and of course the Cork Hurling team as they take on Clare tomorrow in Super Value Parky Keeve. Stevie G is on the way next. Come on, the Rebels.
The Big Red Bench. The Big Red Bench. On Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Red FM.